الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. أما بعد، we continue our readings in the book of التوحيد, which is the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon the servants. Kitab al-Tawheed alladhi huwa haqq Allah 'ala al-'abid. Reading from the chapter Bab al-Du'a ila shahadati an la ilaha illallah, the chapter which is entitled The Call and the Invitation, the call to the testification of faith that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Bab al-Du'a ila shahadati an la ilaha illallah أي وأن محمدا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The call to the testification of faith that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, in which is understood likewise the implication that likewise there is also the testification of faith that there is nothing, that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the messenger of Allah. Because the shahada, أن لا إله إلا الله, is not accepted except whenever it is combined with the shahada, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So here is the call to the shahada, the testification of faith, to bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah Azza wa Jal. The author, he mentioned, wa qawli Allahi ta'ala, qul hadihi sabili ad'u ila Allahi ala basira ana wa man ittaba'ani wa subhanallahi wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Most High, say, meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my path, this is my way, this is my sunnah. هذه سبيلي هي طريقتي وسنتي ومنهجي أدعو إلى الله. I call to Allah alone. I call to Allah على بصيرة, upon clarity, upon knowledge and proof, upon evidence, not upon desires and whims. Me and those who follow me. أنا ومن اتبعني. Likewise, I call to Allah عزّ وجل alone, with the class, to his deen, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to his straight path, this is my way, and I call upon clarity and insight, and likewise those who follow me, they also call to Allah with the class and sincerity, calling to him, not to themselves, upon clarity, upon knowledge, not upon ignorance, not upon whims. Wa subhanallah, and glorified is Allah upon above every defect or imperfection. Subhanallah, ay unazzihuhu subhanahu wa ta'ala an al-uyubi wa naqais. I glorify him and praise him above any defect or any fault. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. And I'm not from the polytheists. I'm not from the pagans. I'm not from them. I'm not with them. I'm free from them. I'm free from them. So this is clear that this is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he came and he was sent by Allah Azza wa Jalla to call the people to Tawheed, and to call them to disbelieve in everything that is worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to believe in Allah alone, to disbelieve in everything that is worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to understand and know certainly that that is falsehood, and everything that is worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla is worshipped in falsehood, and that worship is not correct, nor is it accepted, and those objects of worship are not worthy of worship, but rather Allah alone, he is the one who is worthy of worship. Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, he is worthy of worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was his way, this was his path, calling to the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla, calling to the straight path, calling to the compliance to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and staying away from his prohibitions. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadihi sabili, this is my way, this is my sunnah, this is my way to be upon sincere worship, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal with love and hope, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal with fear, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal sincerely, pure with purity of intention, striving to draw near to him in a manner pleasing to him, striving likewise to call the others, to bring them from the darkness into the light, to bring them from the darkness of disbelief and shirk, and from the darkness of evil and sins and transgression, and from the darkness of ignorance into the light of Islam, into the light of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, into the light of the Tawheed. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي, this is my way. This is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, calling to the Haqq, clarifying the falsehood, not fearing the blame of the blamers in that way. The author, he mentioned after this the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he says, وَعَنِ ابْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَمَّا بَعَثَ مُعَاذٍ إِلَى الْيَمَنِ قال له إنك تأتي قوما من أهل الكتاب فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وفي رواية إلى أن يوحدوا الله فإنهم أطاعوك لذلك فأعلمهم أن الله افترض عليهم 5 صلوات في كل يوم وليلة فإنهم أطاعوك لذلك فأعلمهم أن الله افترض عليهم صدقة تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم فإنهم أطاعوك لذلك فإياك وكرائم أموالهم واتق دعوة المظلوم فإنه ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب أخرجاه. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما ترجمان القرآن ترجمان القرآن, the nephew of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he sent Mu'adh إلى اليمن. The ulama, they mentioned, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he mentioned that this occurred in the beginning of the 10th year. Some of the ulama, they mentioned it was in the 9th year, or the end of the 9th year. And Allah knows best, that is in this time, in the 10th year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen to call the people to At-Tawheed. He was the messenger of the messenger of Allah. He's the messenger of the messenger of Allah. This is sufficient as a virtue for this man, for this great man and companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had spoken about some of the virtues of Mu'adh previously in this class. Who remembers some of his virtues? Or he was mentioned in another narration. What was the other narration the author mentioned from the narration of Mu'adh ibn Jabal رضي الله عنه؟ نعم. معنا. What's the hadith? What did he say? I was riding behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on a donkey. I was riding behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said to me, "Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, do you know the right of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the servants and the right of the servants upon Allah Azza wa Jal?" He said, "Qultu Allahu wa Rasuluhu alam." Naam, this came previously. From that, as a virtue, likewise, he was riding on the donkey with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, riding behind him directly. Other narrations, the Prophet saw, he told him, "Ya Mu'adh, inni la'uhibbuk. Inni la'uhibbuk. O Mu'adh, verily, I truly love you. I love you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar." Naam, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he selected him from his companions and sent him to Yemen. It's mentioned he's from there, in the area. He's from this area. So we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent someone that they're familiar with. Someone from their tribesmen. Someone who can communicate with them in a manner that they're familiar with and they know. Naam, he said, لَمَّا بَعَثَ مُعَاذٍ إِلَى الْيَمَنِ قَالَ لَهُ إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, verily you are coming to a people, they are a people from the people of the book. فَلِيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدُعُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So you must, the first thing that you call them to is shahada and la ilaha illallah. He said, verily you're coming to a group of people. Who are these people? They are people from the people of the book. Who are the people of the book? Al-Yahud wal-Nasara. Al-Yahud wal-Nasara. Most likely these people are Yahud. Are Yahud. He said, you're coming to a people from the people of the book. What does that benefit? He's sending a man. He's sending a man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, far to call him to tawheed, to call him to shahada, to call him to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and to testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and to teach them the rights of Islam. Now, so he's telling him in the very beginning, verily you're coming to a people from the people of the book. Naam. But these people, they're not like mushrikun. The mushrikun, they don't have a deen. They don't have knowledge. And their deen is not based upon usul or ilm. It's not based upon any type of revelation, even if it's changed or distorted. Their deen is made up. The mushrikun, their deen is different than the deen of the people of the book. The people of the book, they are considered ahlul ilm, especially the Jews. The Jews, they have knowledge of the book. They have knowledge of the revelation previously. They have knowledge of Musa alayhi salam and his brother Harun alayhi salam. They have knowledge of the revelation of Allah azza wa jalla, and they carried it. So these people, they're people of knowledge, but also they have distorted that knowledge, so they are also people of shubha. They have doubts. They have misunderstandings in the deen. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is preparing his messenger, and he is preparing his caller to draw his attention that he is coming to a people that have knowledge. So in this, the ulama, they mentioned that whenever a person is going to call somebody to al-Islam, then one of the manners and one of the points that the caller should be aware of is the status of the one being called and his condition and his state. What is he? Is he a person? Is he a Muslim? Is he a non-Muslim? Is he a mushrik? Is he a person of the book? Is he ignorant, or does he have proof and evidence with him? What type of person is being called? The ulama, they mentioned that this is indication to marifati ahwal al-mad'uwin. So we have the da'i and we have the mad'u. So the da'i, he has to be upon knowledge. He has to be upon insight, not only with what he's calling to, not only with what he's calling to. Of course, first and foremost, we've seen previously, ad'u ilallahi ala basira. I call to Allah upon insight, ay ala ilm, wa yaqeen, wa burhan, wa hujja. But here we see likewise, also it's important to know that, to not only have knowledge of what one is calling to, also of what the people are upon that's being called, to what the people are upon, meaning what they're being, that those who are being called, and mud'uun, what they're upon, what is their shubha, what is their creed, what is their belief, to know that likewise is important. And then also to know the state of the individual being called likewise. Is he harsh? Is he soft? Is he wealthy? Is he poor? Because every individual in the call to Allah Azza wa Jal should be addressed accordingly. You deal with each one accordingly, so that it would be more hopeful that the da'wah would reach him, that he will accept and submit to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that he will testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here we see, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي كَوْمًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. He's telling him now, informing him about the mad'uwin, that they are people from the people of the book. So this is a great benefit that we have to be aware of, that whenever we invite somebody to Islam or call somebody to Islam, we know who they are, and generally what type of person they are, and also what they are upon. So if we're going to go to call the people, for example, a Buddhist to Islam, we're not going to approach him the same way that we call a Christian to Islam. Because the Christian, he believes in a prophet, he believes in revelation. We can approach him from this aspect. We can tell him, we likewise, Muslims, we also believe in Isa. We also believe in Jesus. And sometimes if you tell a Christian this, he almost will not believe you. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, we believe in Jesus. It's an obligation to believe in Jesus. Well, you didn't know that? We also believe in the Bible. What? They say, they don't know that. Many of them, they don't know that. But then you clarify for them, what is the belief? What is the proper belief in Jesus? What is the proper belief in the Bible, in the Injil, in the Torah? So this person, you can approach him in a different way. As for example, a mushrik, a Buddhist, we will come to him from another aspect. You can't talk to him about prophets and messengers. He doesn't have a prophet. They don't have messengers. You can't talk to him about final previous revelation, and from the heavenly scriptures. And maybe they have something that is made up. But you would talk to him about, how would you approach the mushrik, the one who's a Buddhist, for example? You don't tell him about Jesus, right? Isa alayhi salam and Musa. And what do you talk to him about? You say this thing right here, this stone that you're worshipping, you carved it with your hands. And what can it do for you? Do you hear it? Does it talk when you call it? Does it talk to you? What happens? And you can go from there and explain and show him, the falsehood of that. Intellectually, you can tell him that this thing right here cannot help itself. It's created. Who created that rock? Okay, who carved the rock? I don't know, turn it upside down.
Made in China.
The Chinese made it. The Chinese people, they're the one who carved it. Khalas. Okay, we're on our way. Astaghfirullah. Where did the rock come from itself? Where did the rock come from itself? Who made the rock? So then you're going to go back and you put him in the corner. Khalas, the creator, he's the only one who's worthy of worship. Am khuliqu min ghayri shay'in? Am hum al-khaliqun? Like this, and you will mention these verses like this. You may mention these similar verses to the Christian also, but that's not how you begin with him. That's not how you begin with him. Each person is different. Likewise, if somebody's rich, you address him and you deal with him in a uslub or manner or behavior that's different than you're dealing with somebody who's from the street, for example. Or for example, if you go into the prisons and you give da'wah in the prisons, you find that those people are very harsh. Some of them are very rough. So you don't come in there with the same attitude as you may deal with somebody who is wealthy and lofty and living in extravagance. So you have to be aware of this. This is from the wisdom that we find in the call of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Innaka ta'ti qawman min ahlil kitab. Then he said after that, after realizing that the type of people that's being called and advising him and drawing his attention to that, and also the situation or the deen that they're upon or the belief that they have and the likes, their condition and their state, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Let the first thing you call them to, shahada, the testification of faith that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. The author, he says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُوَحِدُ اللَّهِ. And in one narration, it says, إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُوَحِدَ اللَّهِ, and call them to make tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. To make the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. At the end of this narration, the author, he said, أَخْرَجَاهُ. That means that it's in Bukhari and Muslim. So this is of the highest of authenticity, from the most authentic narrations. The narrations, the most authentic narrations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are those that are muttafiqun alayhi. And this is from them. This is from them. Here we see the author, he mentioned, let the first thing you call them to, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. مَا إِرَبُوا أَوَّلَ خَابَرْ كَانَ مُقَدَّمْ. Anyway, it's been narrated the other way around likewise. It can be recited and has been narrated, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلُ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. But most of the narrations come like this, بِتَقْدِيمِ الْخَبَرِ. نَعْ فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. هذا من فوائد دراسة النحو والصرف. تقرأ الحديث قراءة صحيحة. Whenever you study the grammar and the morphology, then after that, inshallah, you'll be able to read the narration, correct reading, correct recitation. And based upon the recitation, what's based upon the recitation? Huh? The fahm, the meaning, the ma'na, the meaning. So if the recitation is correct, inshallah, then the understanding likewise would be correct. But if somebody is reading it wrong, then the meaning is going to be even further away from that which is correct. Here the author, he mentioned, let the first thing you call them to, shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. And in one narration, that ila an yuwahidullah, ila an yuwahidullah, ila an yuwahidullah. This particular wording right here is in Sahih Bukhari, not in Muslim. Not in Muslim. Actually, this narration has been narrated in Bukhari approximately four places. Bukhari, he narrated this narration in four different places in his Sahih. And likewise, Muslim, he narrated it in two different places. And each of these narrations, some of them, they come with a bit of a different chain. And also, there are some slight differences in the narration from them the author is indicating here. But the people of Hadith, Ahlul Hadith, Ahlul Haqq, the people of truth and the people of hadith, Ahlul Sunnati wa Jama'ah, one of the means that Allah has given them, that Allah has granted them, the means of success to arriving at the pure truth, and yet the correct way without doubt. And this is from the grace of Allah upon them, that Allah has given them success to understand the text, not one of them. Not reading one text and then understanding that text and drawing conclusion and rulings and the likes, but rather gathering all the text with regards to one issue and one topic. All of the texts with regards to one issue and one topic, and then looking at all of these texts as a whole and then deriving the rulings and the understanding. Because the ulama, they say, الْأَحَادِيثُ تُفَسِيرُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا. that the narrations, they explain themselves. So one narration may come with a slight different wording, but these different wordings, they clarify the meanings. They bring additional understanding and light to the correct understanding of the narrations. So for example, we'll see like this, sometimes the narration will come and then it will say, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ أَوْ فِي مُسْلِمٍ أَوْ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَوْ لِلْبُخَارِيٍ أَوْ عِنْدَ أَبِي دَوُودٍ, like this, and they'll mention other narrations. But it's the same narration. I mean, it will have the same companion, and the meaning of the hadith is the same, but the wordings might be different slightly. From these differences in wordings, the ulama, they abstract many benefits and rulings and clarification of the meanings of the words. And so this is one of the ways of the people of the sunnah, that one issue, one particular issue in the deen, whether it's salat, or whether it's iman and the angels, or whether it's wudu, whatever the issue is, they take all of the texts related to that issue and they look at them in detail, and then the rulings are derived from here. One of the reasons why the people of misguidance have went astray, because they do not do that. One of the reasons why the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they went to extremes, because they do not do that. They focus their view on the text that have a threat of the hellfire for those who disobey. And they left off all the rest of the text in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. For example, the text of the hope of the mercy of Allah for those who repent, and the great mercy and forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal for those who are Muslim, and the likes like this. They focus their view here on these one text like this, and they say, oh, whoever dies upon, whoever commits a major sin, he's in the fire. لا يدخل الجنة قتات أي نمام. They said, خلاص, somebody who is carrying tails, he'll never enter paradise. So they say, his major sin, he'll never enter paradise. The Prophet ﷺ said it. On the other hand, you have those negligent people from the murji'ah, and those that are on their way, الَّذِينَ يُشَاقِرُهُمْ فِي أَقِيدَتِهِمْ, those who are upon that way. And we have him today. Maybe we don't see people saying that he's murji'ah, or he's like following irja', but we find it in their creed. If you speak to them, you find it in their creed. Say, akhi, why don't you pray? So, I mean, man, taqwa hahuna. Say, ya akhi, alcohol, this is haram, you can't drink, you can't sell alcohol. No, it's good, I'm a Muslim. Shahadu la ilaha illallah, like this. Yani, they have the similar creed. The murji'ah, what did they do? On the other end, they focused all these verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla, many verses, no doubt about that, the mercy of Allah. In Allah Ghafur Rahim, He's the most forgiving, the most merciful, and like this. So they focused their view on these texts, and what was the outcome? Negligence and heedlessness and being engulfed in sins. As for the people of the Sunnah, what do? They look at these texts and they look at these texts, and they understand it all in the light of the authentic of the Quran, of course, is authentic, and the authentic text of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his narrations, and then they arrive by this manner, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, to the haqq, to the truth. So here we have a similar issue here, that we see, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ إِلَى أَنْ يُوَحِّدُ اللَّهُ. Also in this narration of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, إِلَى أَنْ يُوَحِّدُ اللَّهُ. This is, there's a refutation with this wording here. This wording here is very, very important. Very, very important. إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُوَحِّدُ اللَّهِ. It has also come in another narration in Sahih Muslim. No relationship with this particular narration. The Hadith of Jabir. The Prophet, he said, whenever the Prophet ﷺ went into Ihram, what did he do? أَحَلَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. أَحَلَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. That he أَحَلَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ, and he قَالَ لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ, like this. But أَحَلَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ, يعني التَّلْبِيَة كلمة التوحيد. Kalimat al-Tawheed. But here in this narration and that narration, I kind of gave it away for the brothers who know, there's a refutation of a shubha that is spread. Who knows the shubha?
This term is not from religion.
Allahumma barik. Ahsanta. Jazakallah khairan. You told him? That the Ahl Sunnah and the Wahhabiyya and the likes, they made up the word Tawheed, or this Tawheed is not even found in the text. They didn't make up the word Tawheed, but they say that it's not found in the text. Tawheed, Tawheed al-Rububiyya, Tawheed al-Ulahiyya, Tawheed al-Asma' wa Sifat. The people of Tawheed and Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they're called us to Tawheed, because this is the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the correct way. But they focus upon Tawheed, and all of the issues of the deen refer, it goes back to Tawheed, and they understand that, and they call to that, and they recognize that, and they make that relationship that it's in the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So they say this word Tawheed. Tawheed is three different types. Tawheed is not even in the Quran and Sunnah. You won't find Tawheed in the Quran and Sunnah. The word Tawheed, some people, they've said that, Muslims, they say that. We tell them, go to open up. So you believe Sahih Bukhari and Muslim is from the books, correct? Sah. If they say it, you say open up the books. Here we have in this narration here, ila an yuwahidullah, ila an yuwahidullah. How is that a proof? Doesn't say tawheed. Wahada yuwahidu wahid tawheed. And this is from a word that the word tawheed is derived from, or this word is derived from the word tawheed, according to the opinion. But the case here is that the word is found here in different and different conjugations. Even the word Tawheed itself is found in the hadith of Jabir in Sahih Muslim. The word Tawheed itself is found in the hadith of Jabir in Sahih Muslim. So we say this is something that is known to the companions. This is something that is known to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ila an yuwahidullah." And the narrators and the ulama of the Salaf, this is something that is found in the text. So then we wouldn't be affected by that. Somebody who didn't know, he knows Tawheed is correct, but he's weak in his knowledge, for example. And then somebody came with the Shubha. Oh, you guys Tawheed like this. And they're saying this to you. And you're telling, for example, you tell him, Akhi, you need to call to Tawheed. You tell a Tablighi, for example, Akhi, your da'wah, what are you calling the people for? They're worshipping graves. You're supposed to call to Tawheed. The Prophet ﷺ, he called to Tawheed. And he said this to you. Tawheed is not even found in the Quran, akhi. Where's the Tawheed? Where did you get that from? Maybe he'll say some things like this. Right? Or this goes back to the first part. What is it? Having knowledge of what you're calling to. And having knowledge of the one you're calling. And having knowledge of the shubuhat that they're calling to. So this is one of the things. What would you say now? You're equipped. You tell him, go look in Sahih Muslim right there. Hadith Jabir, the biggest hadith, the longest hadith in about Hajj. A couple of pages. You can find it right there. Here, let's look. So there it is. Oh, subhanAllah. What would he say now? Maybe he will say, oh, billah, the people who have been teaching me, they lied to me, or they're wrong. Maybe he'll wake up, especially if you show him in a good manner, with a good intention. Now, so having knowledge of what you are calling to and who you are calling. Here the narration, إِلَا أَنْ يُوَحِدُ اللَّهِ. That's a great benefit. That this word at Tawheed is found in the text, of the Quran and the Sunnah, rather, and the most authentic text of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here the author, he says, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Then he stops here. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ إِلَى أَنْ يُوَحِدَ اللَّهُ. But if we look in the text, we see that this narration has come. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. That's how the wording continues. Then the author, he summarized here and entered this here, but actually after the word shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anni rasulullah, let the first thing that you call it, and this, and there's three different wordings, the one that says shahada, one that says, or actually there's four, but one that says shahada, one that says ila an yuwahidullah, and the other one that says ila ibadatillah. فالأول ما تدعوهم إليه عبادة الله, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. So then we see the meaning of ibadah and what is intended by ibadah. Huh? Ibadah is tawheed. And the understanding of the shahada la ilaha illallah is tawheed al-ibadah. Tawheed al-ibadah. This is the meaning. So, but here the text, it says, shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anni rasulullah. So that the first thing you call them to is to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah and that I am the messenger of Allah. And another wording, this particular wording here is in Bukhari and Muslim. And another wording, then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The meaning is the same. I'm the messenger of Allah, or that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Now this is what has come. In one narration in Sahih Muslim, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ عِبَادَةُ اللَّهِ. أو إلى عبادة الله, إلى عبادة الله. الحافظ, he says, ويجمع بينها أن المراد بعبادة الله توحيده, وبتوحيده الشهادة له بذلك والنبيه بالرسالة صلى الله عليه وسلم. So we get, by gathering between these narrations, we can understand the real meaning of ibadah. What is ibadatullah? What is ibadatullah? True ibadah, tawheed. There's no ibadah without tawheed. Any ibadah without tawheed, it's not ibadah, something else. Just like salat is not salat without tahara, it's something else. It's not considered salat. It's not considered salat. Somebody who prayed without tahara, what do we say about his salat? Does he have salat? No, he doesn't have salat. He prayed without tahara. So what do we say about his salat? It's batil. If the salat is batil, it means that it's not there. It's not there. He has to start over, do it again. Same thing, any act of worship that does not have tawheed, any worship, any ibadah without tawheed, it's not there. That's not really tawheed. That's not really ibadah. That's not really ibadah. So this is also understood here. An evidence for that here in the meaning of ibadah is the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. The meaning of ibadah is the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَيْهِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ أَوْ عِبَادَةُ اللَّهِ. In one narration, إِلَّا أَنْ يُوَاحِدُ اللَّهِ. إذن عِبَادَةُ اللَّهِ, it means إِلَّا أَنْ يُوَاحِدُ اللَّهِ, to make the tawheed of Allah. So this is the understanding again, the benefit of gathering the narrations. And then also we know the status and the rank of the statement, الشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. And this also clarifies the meaning of that. So what is عبادة الله? عبادة الله is إلى أن يوحد الله, توحيد الله. And the شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله, this is يعني توحيد الله بالعبادة. توحيد يعني إفراد الله بالعبادة, to worship Allah عز وجل alone with no partners. This is understood from this narration. This is what the Prophet called to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is what he called his companions to call to. This is what he sent them out through the lands with this, tawheed Allah, ibadatullahi wahda. Naam, ibadatullahi wahda, al-imanu billah. Naam, wa ma yajibu al-imanu bihi. He says now, we see that this was the call. The call to the worship of Allah alone with sincerity and ikhlas. And to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ فَأَعْلِمْهُمْ. If they obey you in this, if they obey you in that, and you call them to tawheed, call them to the shahada, if they obey you in that, then what do you do? فَأَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. If they obey you in that, then inform them that Allah has made obligatory upon them to pray five prayers in one day and one night. If they obey you in that. The benefit here is that at the shahada, the most important part of Islam and the greatest right of Islam is the salat, is a salat. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches according to that which is most important. Whenever someone calls, what is he called to? That which is most important. And then after that, that which is most important, and that which is most important. The ulama, they mentioned this is at-tadarruj, or at-tadrij, at-tadarruj fi dawa ila Allah Azza wa Jal. Also from this is at-tadarruj fi talib al-ilm. And at-tadarruj, it means, you know, taking things step by step, little by little. Any one thing at a time, brick by brick, like this, that you want to learn the most important foundations and then build and then build and then build. This is how one calls to Allah, that which is most important. He doesn't call to good manners and call to leaving off alcohol and call to leaving off fornication and they worship stones. He doesn't call to salat and he worship graves. He calls him to tawheed, and he beginning with that which is important, most important, most important. This is the case. So this is from this narration. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ. And he says, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ فَعْلِمْهُمْ. If they obey you in this, then inform them that Allah has made salat obligatory upon them. This is to see clearly that there must be tadarruj. And also, الْبَدْءُ بِالْأَهَمِّ فَالْأَهَمِّ. That one will seek knowledge or call to al-Islam بتدرج, little by little, also with that which is most important, and then after that which is most important. Then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ فَعَلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. Said, if they obey you in that, and alhamdulillah, they made the shahada. After that, they said they're going to start praying. Now, if they obey also in that, then tell them that Allah also has made obligatory upon them a charity on their wealth, that they must give it to the poor, that they must give it to the poor. And he said, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَلِكَ فَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. He He said that if they obey you in that, then you must be, then beware of taking their most precious wealth. And if they accept Islam and they become your brothers, and then they start praying and their Islam becomes good, and they comply and they agree to pay the zakat, which is an obligation for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, please showing pleasure and being pleased with the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also doing good to His creation. If they go through all of this, he's telling his messenger now, radiallahu anhu, be careful, watch out, do not take their most precious wealth. Yani, so here we see that even the one who, the Prophet ﷺ, he is Nabi Ar-Rahmah. He's Nabi Ar-Rahmah. Wada'atuhu da'atu Rahmah. And that he is the Prophet of mercy, and that his call is the call of mercy. And that whenever he sent his people to the lands, he didn't tell them, whenever you get there, destroy them and wipe them out. Whenever you get there, humiliate them and belittle them and take the women and children. Whenever you get there, do this and do that. That's not the call of the Prophet ﷺ. That was not his da'wah. Call them to Allah. If they accept that, then call them that Allah, He has commanded them to pray 5 times a day, to wash their hands and feet and to prostrate before Allah, the Creator. And then if they do that also, there is an act of worship also with regards to your wealth. Allah has provided this wealth for you, and He has commanded you to give some of it back to the poor, to those in your society who are poor, from your brothers. Give it back to them. And then he told him, and this is what he's calling them to, Allahu Akbar. And then he tells them that if they do that, watch out. You watch out. Do not oppress them. Do not take their wealth unrightfully. This is the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the call of justice, the call of tawheed. This is the deen of Islam, the deen of that which is upright, that has a ruling and a regulation which is the most just and correct ruling with regards to all aspects of life. And wa iyyaka wa uhadhiruk, yani I warn you, beware, be cautious. Wa kara'im amwalihim ay anfasiha wa anfasaha, yani the kara'im, yani jamu karima, something that is karima is valuable, nafisa. So here we see that it's not permissible for the one who takes the wealth, who collects the zakat, he doesn't take the most precious wealth. Also, the ulama, they mention also with regards to the one who gives the wealth, he doesn't give the worst of his property. Rather, what is an obligation when giving zakat is that the person, he gives from that which is moderate, from his wealth. Because from the wealth, we have the one that is most precious, and we have the one that was the most, the cheapest and the least valuable. And then in between them is the one that is moderate. The wealth is like this. And sometimes maybe we think wealth is cash. That's what we know in these days. But in whenever al-mal in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and in the text, what is considered anything that can be of value. For example, camels and sheep and livestock, this is considered mal, wealth. Wealth, property that can be traded and bought and sold, this is considered wealth. Cash and gold and silver is considered wealth. So for example, somebody who has sheep, he has to give zakat from his sheep if it reaches a certain number. For every certain number, a certain amount. Like this. But some of the sheep are good, strong and healthy, beneficial. Others are weak and old, and others are in between that. So it's not permissible for the one who takes the zakat to take the most precious one. Oh, well, look at that big fat one, take that one. And it's not permissible for the one who gives the zakat either. Get this sheep out of here, take this one, I'll give this one that. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ. But what he will give is that which is in the middle. That which is in the middle, that which is moderate. And so he says here, وَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. So beware from taking their most precious wealth. And this would cause them to, a person, he doesn't want to give it. What if he wanted to give it? He said, you know what, this is the best one I have, the best sheep right here. This one is giving milk left and right. Allahu Akbar. Here, take this one. It's permissible. Nah. Why? Because he did it with his own will. He doesn't have to. He did more. It's permissible here for him to take that one. Now he says, وَاتَّقِي دَعْوَةِ الْمَظْلُومِ. And you must fear the supplication of the oppressed. And he's telling him, the Prophet is telling Mu'adh, and fear the supplication of the oppressed. Don't oppress them in their wealth. Don't take their most precious wealth. And fear the supplication. If you go there and you call them and you oppress one of them, you better watch out and be careful. Be cautious. If you oppress them, maybe they'll supplicate against you. وَاتَّقِي. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he is commanding him to have taqwa and piety and to be just and to call them to tawheed and to call them to Islam and not to take their wealth unrightfully and not to take their property unrightfully and not to shed their blood unrightfully, but to call them to al-Islam, to submit to Allah, to submit to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he's telling him to beware, be cautious, fear the supplication of the oppressed. فَلَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ hijabun. There is no hijab or veil between Allah and between that supplication. Meaning the one who calls sincerely on Allah Azza wa Jalla at the time of oppression, then he makes supplication against the oppressed, then that supplication will be responded to. Then that supplication will be responded to. نَكْتَفِي بِهَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.